Very interesting parashah. A lot in that, especially in the Ketuvah HaShelekim part of it. So today I'm going to speak. Today I'm going to speak from the Ketuvah HaShelekim, and I'm going to start off from Yochanan John chapter 3 verse 17. But before I do, let's pray. Abba Father, we thank you for your word today. And I pray that the words I'm about to give will just be an enlightenment to all people, and that they will be able to reject what they don't want, that does not pertain to them, but take on board what does. And Abba, we just pray that this word will be what you want them to hear. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. I've actually titled it, Will a True Believer's Conscience Please Stand Up? We all have a conscience. And sometimes we think our conscience is pure, but then it's not. And I wrote this, I think, because I was speaking to me. And I'll explain later on through the message. But it really did pertain to me. And I had to repent, and I had to look at what I had been taking on board and give it back. So let us have a look at the scriptures to start with. From Yochanan 3:17, For Elohim did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And in Romans 8:1-3, it says, There is then now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach. For the Torah of the Ruach of the life in Messiah Yeshua has set me free from the law of sin and death. But the Torah, being powerless in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim having his own son in the likeness of the flesh of sin, and concerning sin, condemns sin in the flesh. And in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, Let us draw near with a true heart in completeness of belief, having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with clean water. Conscience, our conscience is really important. It's our conscience that never sleeps. Something might happen through the day, and our conscience can then work all through the night to try and activate that into happening. If we speak negative words, our conscience can make that come into being. So first of all, let me define conscience for you according to the Oxford English Dictionary. The consciousness of right and wrong in the moral sense is the internal acknowledgement or recognition of the moral quality of one's motives and actions. It's the sense of right and wrong as regards things for which one is responsible. It's the faculty or principle which pronounces upon the moral quality of one's actions or motives, approving the right and condemning the wrong. Opinions as to the nature, function, and authority of conscience are widely divergent, varying from the conception of the mere exercise of the ordinary judgment on moral questions to that of an infallible guide of conduct, a sort of deity that is within us. Popularly, the word is often used for the whole moral nature, for its gradual individualizing and personification in this sense. So we go to the next slide, please. The conscience is the part of us that gives us a sense of what is right and wrong and makes us feel guilty or just as the result of its impressions upon us. On realizing that that is the conscience, then how should a true believer's conscience make the believer feel? Over what will a true believer's conscience cause you to feel guilty? The scriptures speak of an evil conscience. The conscience is the part of you that gives you convictions as to what is right and what is wrong. But an evil conscience is going to improperly convict you of things. So let me help you have a pure conscience instead of an evil conscience. And that is if indeed you have an evil one at all. I have had an evil one until I repented of it. And I'm going to endeavour to show you whether you have an evil conscience or not also. The messages we bring each Shabbat is one of Jehovah's ways of renewing our minds. True believers, as opposed to false ones, need to experience a lot of correction in their minds after they are saved, to have their thinking fall in line with the Word of Yah, or in what the Word of Yah teaches about them. When we're born anew, our minds still think the way they did when we were lost. We're born anew in our spirit, but our conscience hasn't caught up with it. Our mind hasn't caught up with it. Jehovah has changed us so much with our teachings from the Word, we will not understand who we are as a born anew person without the teaching of men and women sent by Jehovah. And they are called to minister to the Word to the people. People need to come to shul or listen online and hear teaching and preaching from the Word of Yah. If you meet in person, you are more able to ask questions and share opinions with others to help you understand more clearly. Yah wants us to align our understanding with how we should now think of ourselves as people who died with Yeshua HaMashiach, were buried with him. And this is, this is easier to understand when we mix with like-minded people. There is a form of pride in the world that looks very religious and spiritual, but it's actually anti-Mashiach or a false humility. In Colossians 2, verses 20 to 23, it says, "If then you died with the Messiah from the elementary matters of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which are all to perish with use according to the commands and teachings of men. Commands and teachings of men are not of Jehovah." So these indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed worship, humiliation and harsh treatment of the body, of no value at all, only for the satisfaction of the flesh. Sha'ol is saying here that many people live a false humility, which looks and has a show of being wise and humble, but neglects the body as a sort of holy act. But he said that such a life does not have any value or honour in solving the problems of the fleshly indulgence. Such a lifestyle is outward orientated. It stresses outward things. To me, it's not the outward appearances that are important. They are from the flesh. It's the inward appearances that Yah sees that are the most important to me and should be to you. As a person in the world, I do not come across as a person of authority or a leader. My stature is too short. I'm looked down on physically, and that is carried over in every other aspect of my life. I have lived it for 70 odd years. But I know that that is not how Yah sees me. He has told me so, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet, because he has literally shown me through tangible objects how he sees me to encourage me. The convictions that we are nothings and are losers, barely able to ever get to glory one day since we were saved, is the result of an anti-Mashiach and anti-stake philosophy that is poisoned with the very consciences of many believers. Sha'ol said that this concept of acting as though we are pressured to not even touch, taste, nor handle things and concentrate on outward moderation such as convent and monastery, lives of isolation from the world, is a concept that in reality makes us as people as though living in the world. Being part of the unsaved world is being a person who is under the pressure of sin all the time. Being part of the unsaved world is being a person who is defeated and a loser. Sha'ul said salvation and the stake of Yeshua actually caused us to become dead with the Messiah from the elementary matters of the world. Elementary means basic, simple, fundamental things, and just like a child starts school, they go to elementary school before they go to high school, before they go to university. Elementary is the basis and the basic fundamental teachings of everything. And the improper or corrupt things over which believers have been placed in Yeshua HaMashiach. We are supposed to be above the thoughts of being sinners and good for nothings. This humility that says, "Oh, I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace," is a false humility. This is anti-Mashiach and anti-stake. And that is so because the stake took everything that was sinful and everything that was loser material and crucified it with Yeshua. We are supposed to be dead with Mashiach. So why do we act as sinners who are not dead to the world, yet by thinking about ourselves the way Yehovah thinks of those of the world? We need to remember that we are in the world, not of the world. We are different. Did you know that Yehovah thinks that sinners without Yeshua as being aliens and enemies of him? I'm sure you do. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, "And you who were once estranged and enemies in the mind by wicked works, but now he has completely restored to favour." And in Yaakov, James chapter 4 and verse 4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with Elohim? Whoever therefore intends to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of Elohim." But many believers think of themselves as Yah's enemy. They feel guilty. Now let me make it clear that if we live lives sinfully, we are guilty and we have a right to feel that way. But if we purposefully go out and commit adultery or lie and cheat and come to shul and say hallelujah, we are hypocrites and have lost our salvation. I do not for one moment believe that the doctrine of once saved, always saved is true. An evil conscience condones sins and says you are still saved as long as you once in the past gave Yeshua your heart. That is not true. You are not still saved. If you live a sinful life, you've turned your back on him. You can no longer be saved. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, it says, "And you who were once estranged and enemies in the mind by wicked works, but now he has completely restored to favour in the body of his flesh through death, to present you set apart and blameless and unreprovable before him. If indeed you continue in the belief founded and steadfast, and you are not moved away from the expectations of the good news which you heard, which was proclaimed to every creature under the heaven, of which I, Sha'ul, became a servant." Notice verse 23 begins with the word "if." If we will be presented blameless if we continue in the faith. If we no longer continue in the faith, then we are blameless, not blameless. We praise Yah and thank him that we are delivered from the doctrines of man. But if you are endeavouring to live a holy life and repent when you make a mistake, admit your error, but you still feel guilty about yourself, then you have an evil conscience. Because your conscience hasn't allowed that repentance to take place in your mind as well as in your spirit. And I don't know about you, but I know there are things in my conscience that Hasatan keeps to want to keep reminding me about. And I would take them on. And through just what my discovery through writing this message, I've had to repent of them and say, "Get behind me, Satan, you've got no control over these anymore." A true believer's conscience should only convict you if you sin and if you have not truly repented. But if you deeply repent and genuinely feel sorry about your sin and you still feel guilty, this is the evil conscience that is within you. So why did you all say that attempts to improve oneself are attempts of people who live in the world who are not yet dead with the Mashiach? It is because the truth of the matter is that Yeshua finished the work of dealing with sin on the stake. He dealt with it on the stake. But if we do not understand that and we think the work is not finished, then what do you try to do with unfinished work? You try to finish it yourself. You've got to let Yah finish it for you. Your conscience tells you that you're not good enough. You are saved but still no good. So you automatically try to improve. But since your conscience, the stake did not finish the job, then you are weaker than the stake. But what you end up doing is trying to improve yourself, never being able to do so, because you are trying to do it in your own strength. I have been trying to do stuff in my own strength. You try to improve since your conscience drives you batty, but at the same time you know that you are powerless, you are less powerful than the stake. So you're in a conundrum and your life is confusion. So until we get the revelation of the finished work of the stake, we will be condemned all the time. Can we go to Philippians, please? Philippians 3 verse 18 says, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now say to you even weeping, walk as enemies of the stake of Messiah." Enemies of the stake, Shaul said that there are many enemies of the stake, that he was talking about the world, and that has nothing to do with living as a believer. So when we live as a believer, we have to let go of those things that are the enemy of the stake. The stake finished the work to do with sin. Yeshua condemned sin once and for all on the stake. After hearing the way some people preach to you, you would think Yeshua came to condemn people. But nothing could be further from the truth. Yeshua came not to condemn the world, but condemn the sin in his flesh on the stake. And we read that in our opening text. So let us read Messianic Jews chapter 10. And there's various references of the unfinished work contrasted with the finished work on the stake. In Hebrews or Messianic Jews chapter 10 verse 1 it says, "For the Torah, having a shadow of the good matters to come and not the image of itself of the matters, was never able to make perfect those who draw near with the same slaughter offerings which they offer continually year by year." The Torah could never make man perfect. The Torah is Yehovah's instructions to his children, for which his children were to obey. The Torah does not bring salvation or bring us to perfection. So what does perfect mean? It means complete. Some believers live as though Yeshua's death on the stake could never make them complete or perfect. In Messianic Jews chapter 10 verse 2, it says, "Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because those who served once cleansed would have no more consciousness of sins." But some of us still do have consciousness of our sins, even though we've repented of them. If one was perfect, sacrifices would have ceased to be offered. Notice that Yeshua had to die how many times? Once. Only once, not once every year. Now let us reason together. If one was made perfect or complete, thereby causing any further sacrifice to cease being offered, and if Yeshua's sacrifice, the one we all believe in, was only accomplished once and for all, he did not die over and over again, but died once, then that can only mean one thing. His sacrifice made those that accept it and live it perfect. You say, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Wrong. I am perfect in Yeshua HaMashiach. I'm not perfect in Tamar Yeomans. I'm perfect in Yeshua HaMashiach. It's Yeshua that lives in me that makes it perfect. I am complete in Yeshua HaMashiach. Let me put it this way. If the sacrifices of the Torah could never make the comers there unto the Torah perfect, that is why the sacrifices had to be offered continually, then the comers unto Yeshua's sacrifice must be perfect, because Yeshua is not sacrificed continually once and for all. Does that make sense? Am I making sense to you? Good. Verse 2 says that the sacrifice of Torah, because those who were served once cleansed would have had no more consciousness of sin. Now, to look at some believers, you'd think that Yeshua's sacrifice was no better than Torah sacrifices, because they have a conscience of sins. They feel guilty and sin-ridden. Once cleansed, we should have no more consciousness of sin. So let's have a look at Kepha Beit, or 2 Peter 1 and verse 9. Kepha says, "For he in whom For he in whom these are not present is blind, being short-sighted, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins." If we've been died at the stake, we've been immersed, we are cleansed. Kepha talked of the same problem people had. People still have this problem in their walk today. We were purged from our old sins, but some people forgot, and worse, some never knew. But we were purged from our old sins by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. So let us get back to Messianic Jews. In chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, But in those offerings is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Because the sacrifices were continual every year, the people were reminded of their sins. You would think Yeshua's sacrifice was no better than those ones, because some believers also have a remembrance of sins. They have conscience of sins. You would think it was not possible that the blood of Yeshua would take away, by the way many believers think about themselves and after they are dead with Yeshua HaMashiach. And I have to admit, I was one of those. In Messianic Jews chapter 10 verse 5 it says, "Therefore, coming into the world," he says, "slaughtering and meal offerings you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Here we change gears. Yeshua is foreseen to say that Yehovah's will was not to have continual sacrifices all the time. So instead, "a body you have prepared for me." Why was it foretold that Yeshua's approach would say, a body you would have prepared for me? What was it about his body that would make an end to sins? I believe Romans 8 and verse 3 gives us the answer. Because it says, "For the Torah being powerless, in that it was weak through the flesh, Elohim, having his own son in the likeness of flesh of sin and concerning sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Yeshua's body or flesh would be the container to house our sins, and Yehovah would condemn sin in that flesh. He would not condemn us, but condemn sin. Yah had you and your sins crucified in Yeshua's body when he was crucified, and he condemned sin, but he resurrected you. The body of Mashiach was judgment day for sin. We would think he came to condemn you by the way some of us act. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Then he said, 'See, I come to do your service, O Elohim.' He takes away the first to establish the second. By that desire we have been set apart through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once for all." Yehovah sanctified us through the body once for all. Let me repeat that. Only once for each and every one of us who believe. In Messianic Jews chapter 10 verses 11 and 12 it says, "And indeed every priest stands day by day doing service and repeatedly offering the same slaughter offerings which are never able to take away sins. But he, Yehovah, having offered one slaughter offering for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of Elohim." Yeshua sat down after one sacrifice, because his one sacrifice took away sin. But you would not think so due to the concept of some believers. Their evil consciences make them feel guilty with the guilt they felt before they were saved. So where is there someone whose conscience works upon a proper understanding of the gospel? Do you feel Yah is correcting your conscience this day? We are dead with Yeshua HaMashiach. We do act as though we are still enemies of Yah and not yet dead from the world, but alive in the world by feeling so guilt-ridden all the time. And I'll tell you why. We have an evil conscience that is actually anti-stake and anti-Mashiach in its thinking. And I've said, yes, I'm including myself in that. I beat myself up continually about how I prayed over my dying aunt, and wish many times I'd prayed differently. There was nothing wrong with the way I prayed, but I often wished I had added more to what I'd said and what I did. It's 8 years ago now, and every year on her anniversary, it's like I was being reminded and pushed on me that I was slack and I didn't do what I should have done. Now that is a ploy of Hasatan. That is something that he put on my conscience and said, "See, you weren't good enough." But I've repented of that this week. And I've put it behind me and I've told Hasatan to get behind me. Never again is he going to attack me and tell me my prayer was not good enough. It's just a little thing, but something that shows you that yes, you are not walking perfectly in Yehovah's will when you allow Hasatan to attack your mind and your conscience and make you feel guilty over something. Even though that night I went home and I prayed to Yah, like I always do before I go to sleep, and ask him to perfect any word that I'd said during that day. Because yes, I'd admitted something that I felt I should have said, but I know Yah could have added it to her mind anyway. Even though she was unconscious and didn't know, I don't know whether she heard what I said and if she didn't. She was unconscious at the time and she died the next day. But the point is that Hasatan still tried to attack me every year for 8 years, but not just on her anniversary, but all through the years. You weren't good enough. You didn't do it properly. Never again will he attack me like that. Yah is telling me this week that I'm forgiven, as I did ask him to perfect my prayers that night. Regardless, Hasatan will try to attack me for my sin of omission. Any conscience that makes you feel guilty about yourself for the same guilt you felt before you were saved is a conscience that was never educated and corrected as to what difference the stake has made in our lives. Since it contradicts the stake, what the stake did for us by making us feel guilty over something we should never feel guilty any longer about. This message is as much for me as it is for you. This revelation was a huge wake-up call for me, which I have repented of. When we are purified, we should have no more consciousness of sin. But why do people still have consciousness of sins? Every year under Torah, sin was brought up again because their sacrifices could never wash away sins. But some believers bring up sin in their conscience all the time, almost every week. But what is the message of the stake? The stake hammered sin. The stake crucified sin. And yes, it crucified us once and for all, not forever and ever. Do we have to continue with it? In Messianic Jews, Hebrews 10, 12 to 14, it says, "But he, having offered one slaughter offering for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of Elohim, waiting from that time onwards until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being set apart." His word tells us that we're being perfected. Doesn't say we're perfect, but we are being perfected. Sinners will hear me speak about sin if they are not saved. But you will hear listening to me speak about it, but you don't categorize yourself as a sinner burdened with sin if you are saved and living a righteous life. You're not purposefully sinning to spite. Thank Yah, you were set free from what others need to be still set free from. I want you to notice a Tanakh prophecy quoted by Shaul here. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 10, 15 to 17, it says, "And the set apart spirit also witnesses to us, for after having said before, this is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, as Yehovah, giving my Torah into their hearts and in their minds, I shall write them, and their sins and their Torahlessness I shall remember no more." We say it every week. Why hadn't I taken it on board? I'm not going to bash myself over that one, because I've now taken it on board. Shaul here quoted Yirmiyahu chapter 31, verses 33 to 34, which we quote every Shabbat before our remembrance service. So let us read Shaul's remarks in verse 18 of chapter 10 of Messianic Jews. "Now where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer a slaughter offering for sin. When Yirmiyahu prophesied that Yehovah would forget all our Torahlessness through some new covenant, he implied that there is no more offering from sin. Yirmiyahu said, their sins and their Torahlessness I shall remember no more. If Yah no longer remembers them, why do we remember them? But you say that you are not condemned over your past sins like some are, but over yourself. Well, the same stake that crucified your past sins and my past sins also crucified you. Well, all my life I've been a loser, but the stake crucified all that was a loser about you. And the scriptures say that you are not a loser, but more than a conqueror. If you feel you cannot conquer anything, did you know that some conquerors never conquer anything? That's because they do not know that they are conquerors. They don't have a revelation of what the stake did to them. They incorporated their old way of thinking as people who are still part of the world, the enemy of Yehovah. They need to acknowledge that they are now in Yeshua HaMashiach. They are more than conquerors because they've accepted him as their Yehovah, as their Yeshua, which is their salvation. That thinking is anti-stake and anti-Mashiach. It makes one think that the stake did not do what it actually did. So let us have a look at the next slide. It's the symptoms of an evil conscience. And that is, you feel down on yourself. You look in the mirror and think loser. You look at yourself and think, what a defeated excuse for a believer that I am. All of that is a result of an evil conscience. All of us who were losers with the rest of the world, who experienced the stake of Yeshua one day, were cut off from the loserhood. How can that evil conscience be corrected? So let us look at Messianic Jews chapter 10 and verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in completeness of belief, having our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience and our bodies washed with clean water. What does a sprinkled from an evil conscience, what does a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience believe? And how does a true conscience behave? In Messianic Jews chapter 9 and verse 14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the everlasting Ruach offered himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? Cleanse your conscience from dead works. It says that our conscience is dead from dead works. Remember that touch not, taste not, handle not of Colossians chapter 2 and the falsely humbled people? These are dead works from which we must be cleansed. A life that thinks that it can hardly even move without making Yah angry is not living a Ruach-filled life. The blood of Yeshua cleanses our conscience. The mention of the blood of Yeshua is reference to the proper understanding of the work of the stake. It means that the truth of the stake finished the work in smashing sins once and for all and is applied to your conscience and corrects misunderstandings. And it reveals to you what you are now and how you were saved. All these incorrect convictions are completely cleansed and washed away. But not everyone's consciences are correct. Listen to what Shaul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13. I thank you, Messiah Yeshua, our Master, who empowered me because he counted me trustworthy, putting me into service. Me, although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insulter, but compassion was shown me because being ignorant, I did it in unbelief. Shaul conscientiously persecuted the Messianic community, thinking that he was doing Yah's will when he did it. His conscience at that time made him feel good, but his conscience was also evil and wrong. And we read this in Acts chapter 23, verse 1. And Shaul, looking intently at the council, said, men, brothers, I have lived in all good conscience before Elohim until this day. And in chapter 24, verse 16, it says, and in this I exercise myself to have a clear conscience towards Elohim and men always. Shaul did not have a clear conscience before he was saved, but after that his conscience was clear towards Yehovah and men. How could Shaul stand up upon the fact that his conscience confirmed he was void of offence if a conscience can be evil and incorrect? So here is the answer in 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. I thank Elohim whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my forefathers did, as I unceasingly remember you in my prayers night and day. Shaul's conscience was cleansed. The blood of Yeshua cleansed it. That did not happen as soon as he was saved. His sins were cleansed by the blood of Yeshua when he was saved, but his conscience was cleansed by the blood afterwards through teaching and revelation of the word of Yehovah about the work of the stake. Another is described like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. However, not all have this knowledge, But some, being aware of the idol until now, eating it has as having been offered to an idol, so their conscience being weak is defiled. And in 1 Corinthians 10:29, now I say, conscience, not your own, but that of the other, for why is this freedom judged by another's conscience? We cannot allow someone else's conscience judge us. They don't have the right. Judgment day will come for us. No one else has the right to judge us. The reason Shaul said he would not allow his liberty to be judged by another man's conscience was because some people have an evil conscience. It incorrectly assesses what is evil and what is good. Have you ever worried about whether or not you've committed the unpardonable sin? You are sincere, you want to serve Yah and go to heaven, but you're worried over that. Well, your conscience is at least partly evil, and you need to get a revelation of the finished work of the stake and having the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. As long as you are sincere and truly desiring to live according to Yehovah's Torah and instructions of Yeshua, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin. Hasatan might try to convince you otherwise, but you need to take authority over him. Cover yourself with the full armour of Yehovah daily and tell Hasadan to get behind you, as Yeshua did, or send him out into dry and arid places, as Yeshua did. You see, none of us in this room, or those watching online for that matter, would have an evil conscience unless there's something they're hanging on to. And if you are, admit it, repent of it, tell it to get behind you, and it's finished. That's all you need to do. Any questions before we move on to the remembrance service? No? I believe.